Well, you're welcome to the Pear and the Wellness Hour. We have a fully packed show for you, so if you're sitting at home today with the virus or without the virus, you're going to enjoy yourself here today one way or the other. That's all we can say for you. We have a full show, the Wellness Hour with the Pear. We have a trip to the vet and the clinic and our doctor down in Kerry, A&E, and much, much more.
Hello, Pear.
But first, it's our trip to our local nursing home to visit some old friends of ours, Martin Shanahan and Pear Dyle, where the Pear brings them a bit of crack and fun here today with our local bingo. Well, hello there, and you're very welcome to St. Teresa's Nursing Home. And this week, we're here to call the bingo. We've been doing bingo in the nursing home for, oh God, a good number of years now, and I'd have to say it anyway, and I'd say it's one of the highlights of the week for most of the residents here. But listen, don't let me tell you all about it. We'll ask some of the local residents that are here in front of me. And our first resident's here. Hello, sir, and what's your name? What's your name?
I don't know. What game are you talking about?
What's your name, Martin? What's your name? Jesus Christ. Will someone close that doors? Jeez, I can't hear myself think at this stage. It's Martin Shannon, of course, we have here. We're talking to, and Pear Dyle.
Hello. I love the bingo myself.
Well, you can't see it on the radio, but Martin Shannon is after cheering up no end.
Smile, you said.
What?
You said, yeah, smile.
No, I was introducing Pear Dyle. Pear Dyle.
Oh, thank God for that.
Ah, jeez, his teeth are after falling out. Can someone look for her? Lad, will you, Wally, close that friggin' door? Jeez, she's starting to annoy me now.
I've only got to get no wife in there. I've got the ears done as well.
What in the name of God is he talking about?
He said he's after getting new teeth and a hearing aid as well.
Oh, sure, that's the reason he can't hear anything. Will you, Martin, just turn it up a little bit, will you? Jesus, Mary and John. Will someone close that door, for Jesus' sake?
I'll get down on the floor.
No, I was asking someone to shut the door. Turn up your hearing aid, Martin. Jesus Christ.
Oh, right, I'll turn it up. Now I'm... The thing is up, but it's dropping out a little bit.
Did you get the 1 year or the 2 years done?
There's a 5 year guarantee, was it?
Oh, for Jesus' sake. Look, we'll get started. Someone close that door, for Jesus' sake. Here, put on the music, lads. Here we go. Bingo Loco!
It's too loud!
Oh, sweet Jesus, after falling over again. What do you get it off? Yeah, no mind calling for one. Go on, get it off, for the love of God. Well, wasn't that lovely? That sounds like a right bit of fun there they're having there in away in a home, St. Teresa's Nursing Home, with Martin Shannon and Pear Dyle. And we're looking forward to visiting the lads next week. As I always say myself, old people are funny.
Hello, Pear.
Ah, yes, it's that time of the week again to sit back, relax, and enjoy our mindfulness and well-being with Willie Malumbi. If you think I'm whispering, you'll be right, because it's that gentle time of the week again where we get nuggets of wisdom from the wonderful man himself, Willie Malumbi, who's launching his cookery book this week. Oh, God. I tell you, I'm soaked already. I'm only after getting out of the car. We've arrived here at the entrance to the local vocational school here on what I can only describe as a cold, wet, miserable Tuesday evening. But we won't let that dampen our enthusiasm, because it's going to be, I think, a very insightful and uplifting evening once we can get in out of the rain. If you're like myself, and you're a keen cook and fancy yourself as a bit of a Delia Smith around the house, well, you're in for a treat here tonight, because we're here tonight in the local vocational school for the launch of Willie Malumbi's Mindfulness and Wellbeing Cookbook. Writing this book, Willie told me, has changed his life. As he says himself, it could soon change your life too. And Willie has written the book. He's called it Willie's Happy Food. He told me he has re-evaluated everything that he has learned about food and stepped beyond the conversation around gut health to look at how the food we eat affects our brains and mental health too. You see, with so much going on in our daily lives, it's often much easier to grab fast food and cook a meal at home. And as a result, Willie says, so many of us are suffering both physically and mentally. So, within these pages, Willie takes a look at how we can get what we need on a deep and nourishing level. You won't find a more interesting and hands-on book about this subject. The unbeatable combination of Willie's recipes and kitchen know-how, research and flowing narrative, along with beautiful pictures and impeccable home cooking, makes this book a must-have. Willie's Happy Food brings Willie into your kitchen, allowing everyone, as he says himself, the chance to live and eat like the Scandinavians. Why he wants us to all eat like Scandinavians is beyond me, but sure, I suppose that's why we're here and not at IKEA.
Hello.
Hello. I think that's the principle there after arriving, so we should be able to get in, I suppose, any minute. There'll be no harm to get in out of this, I can tell you. The door seems to be locked there. I wonder, are we a little... No, we seem to be on time, all right. What's that? I can hear something inside. Hello? Hello, Willie?
Fuck off,
that's fucking... I think I hear something there. Yoo-hoo, Willie? Can we... Willie, can someone let us in there? To get... Oh, my God. Oh. Willie, is everything all right? Willie? Oh, Jesus. Willie, will I call someone, Willie? Do you want me to call the gaff? Jesus, the window. Willie, that's very close. That could have hit someone, Willie. Willie! Oh, this has gone very bad. I'm going to have to turn it off. One second. Well, that was a bit disappointing there. I'd like to have heard a bit more from Willie Malumby, but unfortunately, we must have caught him there at a bad time, and I suppose not everyone does like chicken. I can see where Willie's coming from. I wouldn't be passionate to it myself. I'd like a nice bit of red meat or a steak or something nice. Spaghetti bolognese now is lovely. I love that when I have it at home. Myself makes a lovely bolognese.
Well done, Pat.
And up next is our weekly visit to the acoustic room. And who have we? A bit of music here, Kathleen. What have you given me? A local lad again. I think he's after a song. How's things? Yeah, that's a phrase you'd hear locally at home when you be saluting lads. How's things? And this fella's written a song about it. And we're going to hand it over to him now. It's not so much acoustic, it's all electric and everything else. Over to the man himself. How's things?
How's things? That's what they all say. How's things? How's things? At the start of every day. And me father said to me, Pat, no matter what life brings, be always sure and stop and say, ah, Jesus, well, how's things? Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, and then one day he died. His sisters, they were fierce and high because Jesus was by his side. Jesus said, this needs a miracle. Stand back, I'll give it a fling. When Lazarus opened up one eye and said, ah, Jesus, well, how's things? E.T. was an extraterrestrial. He came from outer space. He was only here a fortnight and he didn't like this place. Well, he got himself into an awful bind because the phone it would not ring. When his mother finally picked it up, she says, ah, Jesus, how's things? How's things? How's things? That's what they all say. How's things? How's things? At the start of every day. As my father said to me, Pat, no matter what life brings, be always sure and stop and say, ah, Jesus, well, how's things? Tom Hanks was stuck on an island in a film called Castaway, and he found them all painting a face in it to pass the time of day. After 4 years stuck on the island, he thought he heard the boss sing. When he put them all up to his ear and said, ah, Jesus, Tom, how's things? Well, the Pope never liked Mother Teresa, said she always wore a scowl. Every time she came to mass, she wore the empty towel. He said that nun's fierce and lying, she's worse than Abby's thing. So to give her a fright, she let out a roar. Hi, Teresa! Well, how's things? How's things? How's things? That's what they all say. How's things? every day. And me father said to me, pal, no matter what life brings, be always sure and stop and say, I'd chick as well as ting. Wish lads, now keep it out. Wait, what are you keeping out?
33 Chilean miners were buried underground. And the whole of Chile went quiet to listen for a sound.
Cut it out.
They sent a pencil down a hole and a piece of paper on a string. What? And when the paper came back up again, it said, ah, Jesus, lads, house things. That's what they all say. House things. And it's that every day. And me father said to me, pal, no matter what life brings, be always sure and stop and say, ah, Jesus, well, house things. That's what they all say. House things. At the start of every day. And if you've had a century back, no matter what life brings, be always sure and stop and say, ah, Jesus, well, house things.
I would have cared.
It's that time of the week again. We hit to the countryside. It's like a Friday evening, or as Joe Duffy would say, that place outside of Dublin. Well, here we are at Ger Fahey's farm at the bottom of the Cumberland Mountains. And I have to say, and I know I'm like a broken record at this stage, it's one of the most beautiful locations in Ireland, or at least that I've ever seen anyway. And Ger and his family have decided to give up beef farming here at the bottom of the Cumberland Mountains and take up growing avocados. Well, the last time we met them, Ger had sold off the family herd and then had a visit from the revenue commissioners. And there was some question as to what way Ger was going to finance the project. And in the current climate with the coronavirus dictating the closure of many restaurants and hotels around the country, I'm here to see what effect, if any, this is having on Ger. Well, and speaking of which, the man himself is coming here now. Here he's on.
Stay back. Stay back there, dude. Not cool at all. Not cool. No. Stay back. Go back.
What's that, Ger?
No, it's not cool at all, dude. You know, you're coming out here with that virus and everything all over. Jeez, man and Joe's. Stay back about the meter, the 2 meters. Stay back a minute.
Sorry, Ger. Yeah, yeah. No, is this good enough for you? I thought I was keeping the social distance there of the 2 meters. Surely this is acceptable in an environment like this, you know, out in the open air.
I was just, no, fair enough. It's not cool, you know. I'm just trying to keep the distance. Here, jump into them there. Jump into that.
Ger had hopped off a beautiful old grandfather-style bike with a basket on the front of it. And he had some overalls in the basket, like a painter's suit or a hazmat suit, with goggles and face mask. We proceeded to put them on, and I followed Ger into the old barn. What is going on here, Ger? I couldn't help thinking while standing beside Ger looking into the shed. It was like being on the set of Breaking Bad.
Oh, 'tis a new cool, man. Yeah, the avocados are going out the window now. Hard to think of it. Who'd have thought?
Shut up, you! Lie down!
Jesus, that dog, if he falls into that mountain, he'd know all about it. To strip him there. No, I was just saying, who would have thought with the virus after coming along there that, like, that big farmer would be cool all of a sudden, huh? Hey, sure, the coolest thing now is a pharmacist. Jesus, and we were going to school, so you never put your name down for it. No, so I've set up a lab here making hand sanitizers and toilet cleaner.
Why toilet cleaner?
It's just the same mixture. Don't tell anyone, though.
But, Ger, do you need special planning permission for a facility like this? I mean, with the environmental issues and surveys, etc., and runoff, water runoff. I mean, where's the waste going?
Jesus, you're joking me. So no one cares about that anymore, sir. Jesus. Who's listening to Greta now, is he? No, sure. No one gives a shite about the environment anymore once their hands and their arses clean.
Well, that's where I left Ger, a different man, there's no doubt about it. I can see now how the coronavirus is having an effect on people in various different ways, and ways that we never foresaw.
Well,
Well, it's that time of the week again, our weekly visit to the clinic, the veterinary clinic. And our vet on call this week is Cathal Devaney, who's going to talk to us all about horses and ponies and all things equine. Hello, my name is Cathal Devaney, and I'm here today to talk to you all about how to train your pony. Now, we've got out and about. We'd normally be in the surgery for our weekly visit, but because ponies and little horses are that little bit bigger, we wouldn't fit them in the surgery. So I've gone to a stables, and lots of little boys and girls out there are taking up pony riding, and it's a beautiful pastime and an interest for any young person, also for the mum and the dad to join their little darling at a gymkhana or show jumping event or a junior hunt. But one thing that we must be aware of is how to know your pony. And what I find is very important is to be comfortable around your animal, and especially when you're mucking out or saddling up your little beauty. So today I'm going to talk to you about handling your pony in confined spaces. And that's why we're here today. I'm going to demonstrate a few pre-steps with you today with a pony that I haven't worked with yet, but I'm looking forward to it. Her name is Missy, and she's outside now waiting to come into the stable. So we're going to bring her in now, and I've picked this particular stable because it's the smallest one I could find, and I think it'll suit our needs today. So let's bring in Missy. Oh, she's a fancy. She's a bit bigger now than I thought. I thought she was a smaller little pony. I'll just get the gate. Now, I'll get it, lads. Step out. I'll get the gate. Lovely. That's closed there. Ooh, yeah. Let's take the dog away. He'll only fight out there. So now I'm in the wrong position here. I suppose I'm at the back of the stall, around behind Missy. So I'm going to make my way around to the front. Little bit. I'll just squeeze myself in around here. Oh! Jeez! Oh, they're kicking me there. Ah! But I suppose I shouldn't be here. Oh! Oh, that's after getting rid of little dart there. So what I'm trying to do now, I'm going to try and make my way up the side of her here. It's just a little bit tight, but that's what we want. And I suppose Missy didn't know I was going to be there behind, so she must have got a bit of a fright. I've got to squeeze my way up here to the left. Oh, I should push me down, push out a little bit. Oh, Jesus. Oh, she's burst after knocking the wind out of me there. What I do is I'm going to try and get the pony to flex here. She's still a bit lively. She's kicking the barrels there. I'm going to try and get her to turn. What I do is grab the reins, get her to pull her over to the right here. Now, this is very important. Oh, Jesus, she's put her up against the side of her. Push out! Push her out! What are you going to hold him up with? Oh, she's squashing me. Jesus Christ, she's a heavy little girl. Oh, you fat bitch! Get her off me! God, the big, get her off me! Well, wasn't that lovely? Great to hear Cathal Devaney there, our local vet. And this week he was with a pony there, and that was lovely. He's a great man with animals, and she was a feisty little pony, Missy. Reminds me of an ass neighbour of ours. Oh, God, too much to say. She was a feisty little thing as well. Our neighbour, Kathleen Ryan's ass. And if you put your hand on that, oh, God, she could get taken off fairly lively. Anyway, up next. And now for our thought of the week. This week, our thought of the week is like every other thought of the week, given to me by Kathleen. Have you got it, Kathleen, there? Lovely. Yeah, Kathleen, one second. Just turn down the music, Kathleen. Turn it down. Yeah. I have it here now. Which one of them is it? We did that one, did we? I have it here. And our thought of the week this week. Kathleen, a bit of music, please. Thank you. And our thought of the week this week is, I suppose, something to think about in the times that we're living in with the coronavirus or corona. Is that what they're called? COVID-19 or whatever it is they're called. And this week, our thought of the week is in relation to that. And Kathleen's put it together. Kathleen says here, spare a thought for the elderly, especially those barred from the local supermarket, for holding up the checkout as they try to remember their PIN. And I think I can see where that's coming from. Both Kathleen's parents have been barred from the supermarket for coughing and forgetting their PIN. But we wish them the very best of luck, and they're in isolation now, I know. So I hope they listen to this, and best of luck to you both.
Won't go up, kid.
And yes, it's that time of the week again. We're off to the waiting room to Dr. Fintan O'Brien in Kerry North A&E. And Dr. Fintan is going to talk to us this week all about removing a mole. He's going to talk us through the procedure that you can do at home on yourself. Hello. My name is Dr. Fintan O'Brien, and I'd like to talk to you today all about removing a mole. You know, a lot of people think you have to visit a doctor to get a procedure like that done. But I can tell you now, removing a mole is a very simple procedure, and it easily be done by yourself at home. And that is what I'm going to do here now today, a procedure on myself, remove a mole. Now, if you look up the internet and listen to old wives' tales, you'll hear a lot of ways to remove moles. And in fairness, if it makes you feel better, walk away. But I can tell you now that you'll be wasting your time and your money. Hard-earned money. I've come across taping garlic to the mole to break it down. Fellas there applying iodine and to the mole to kill off the cells. The best of them all, a fella came in and mixed a baking soda and castor oil. Like, you know, if you rub that onto there, you might as well be rubbing, you can get a rubber bitty on this blue bottle. If that's what floats your boat, would work away. But I think the only way to remove them all now, yourself, it's a simple procedure. And that's what I'm about to go through now and show you now how to do. Now, people will tell her, if you're going to want to remove them all, you have to go to a dermatologist. Well, I can tell her now, you'll be as well off going to a horticologist. That'll cost you a lot of money, and there's no need at all for all of that. The best thing you can do at all, I'll tell her now exactly what to do. The first thing a doctor will do if you go into them, or a dermatologist or one of them, they'll numb up the affected area. Now, that'll cost you a lot of money. Christ, people don't have the money to be thrown away like that. I give you a very simple. Did you ever change a bottle of gas at home? Or a supercell, or when you're young for the gas cooker at home? And you get a blast. You get a blast of the gas on your hand there when you're taking the lid off it. And Christ, you'd be frozen there from it to freeze up your hand. Well, all you need is a quick blast of gas on your skin there, and that'll numb it up. And that's what I'm going to do here now today. I have a mole. You can't see it there. I'll tell her now where it is exactly. I have a mole there under my right eye. And I am going to numb up that area now. I have a small bottle of camping gas here. I'll show her now. What you do, you hold the gas up in the mole and give her a quick tap. And then we can go ahead. So now I can't do it, obviously, here, if that's in an awkward old foul area. So I brought in a neighbour's child, Connor. Here, come on, Connor, come over here. Connor, come up. Connor, lay it down. Come over here, come in. Come over here, come in beside me. Come on, Connor. Well done, good man. Well done, Connor. Good man yourself. So now all I'm going to do is get Connor. Connor, see my eye there. I'll point that in just under the eye, not into the eye. Just under the eye there when I call you. Just around the affected area. And what I'm going to do now, I'll pull back this chair here, I'm going to sit down now, and Connor is going to stand over me there. Now, if you're at home, you follow these directions, get someone like Connor. Ah, Jesus, Connor! Oh, mother of God! But Jesus, Christ, wait, look! Christ, I didn't call you yet, wait! Oh, Jesus, it's the wrong eye. I can't blast you anywhere, Connor. 1 second, I see. Christ, it is the other eye. Mother of God, that's so now. I can't see a thing outside that eye. What I was trying to say is, Connor, if you could... God, Jesus, Connor! Will you wait, now? Oh, my God, turn it off, Connor, turn it off, now. Jesus, I've gas on off of me. Oh, my eyes are bubbling. Oh, I can't see a thing. What? What's that? Oh, Jesus, don't light up, engine. What are you doing, Connor? Connor, mother, oh, my God. Oh, Dr. Fintan O'Brien there, and we're glad to say that he passed out there, but there was an awesome hand and a couple of firemen to look after him there, and he'll be all right. Tune in next week when we'll be talking to him about doing moles. No, warts. We did moles. Warts. We'll be talking to Dr. Fintan about that, and looking forward to it again. And that was our trip to the waiting room with Dr. Fintan O'Brien.
Hello.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed the wellness hour with the pair. Of course, it wasn't quite the hour, it was 26 minutes. So you now have 34 minutes to yourself to enjoy yourself, whatever you want to do. And if you're in isolation, sure, have a listen to it again. Enjoy it. See you next week when you tune into the wellness hour with the pair. Did it?
Hello, pair.